God bless you. Isn't it so good to worship together? Oh, I cannot wait to be together. I'm over in the building. I'm in the prayer room. And so worship and prayer and God's word. Now that can happen anywhere that you're at. Worship, prayer, God's word, sharing it with people. You can do that. And I'm telling you right now, whether we get back to complete normal or whether we get back to this weird kind of mix of RSVP and going sometimes to the building and sometimes not, you can have church at your house. You can have church at your workplace. What? But they don't allow that. In Jesus' name, you are the church. How about the oft quoted, where two or more are gathered? There he is with us. Look, friends, I am so overwhelmed by how different everything is. And it keeps bringing back to how amazingly unchanging Jesus is. And so let's pray. We're going to get right to it. I want to remind you that if Crosswater is your church, you believe in what God is doing through the church, please keep giving. Not just financially, although financially, please keep giving of your time and of your prayer and of your talents, your abilities to be able to see God's kingdom built in and through Crosswater. You're giving through Crosswater when you give to Crosswater. Again, not just financially. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, this morning is your morning. This day is your day. We're your people. God, have your way in us and through us as we get into your word. Thank you for this worship time that we've had. Thank you for this time that we can extend worship by hearing your word, believing your word, sharing your word, and acting on your word. God, I pray all this in your perfect name. Amen. All right, you guys. Hey, so you know that we're in the use guys. You know that we're right here in the middle of this series called Influencers. There's so much influence going on. We are always influenced, and you are always going to be an influencer. Even if you think, I'm not doing anything. You are. You are an influencer. God has made you a city set on a hill. I can't ever get tired of that. Matthew 5. All right. So in that, we're looking at the fact that it's a new kind of kingdom. God's kingdom is a new kind of kingdom, although his kingdom has always been. But for us, his kingdom people, it's a new kind of kingdom where we actually die and we live because of that. And then we actually give away, and we're so much more wealthy by giving than hoarding and receiving. And then we actually forgive, not because we're so amazing in of ourselves, but because we've been forgiven. And so with that, I want to bring you to some of the desired outcomes that we talked about in the first week of going through the book of 2 Corinthians. And here they are really quick. We said that we want to have an increased trust in God. And boy, do we need that more now than ever. I mean, we didn't know all of what was going to be going on. We don't even have a clue of what was going to go on at some level when we talked about these things and prayed about these things and prepared for 2 Corinthians. But an increased trust of God, that's just a desired outcome of following him, right? But sometimes you got to go through some hard times to actually be able to build that trust. And that's happening right now. An increased faithfulness in relationships, even when it's hard. Maybe especially when it's hard. And then also an increased desire to be transformed by God's Spirit. Look, I can't make you desire anything. I can live out a life. You can live out a life. People can witness that life. But we are not actually going to make other people desire something. You might see somebody desire something and go, I want that. Like all the people way back in the day, or forget way back in the day, what about now? A TV show, a movie, a song, maybe a podcast if you're down for that, or maybe a speaker, maybe somebody who's protesting well and speaking good words. You desire to share that, and so you will. But other people, they have to choose their own desire. And so I want to encourage you that if you are desiring God, that is an increase of God's Spirit in you. It's not of our own, and yet he calls us to desire him. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All right, so we wanted, as a desired outcome for us going through 2 Corinthians, that we would have changed perspective. And we need to change perspective on all kinds of things. But here's a few things. Change perspective on trials, wealth, hardship, joy, poverty. Look, all of it. all of it. We need a changed perspective. We got to get away from, like we talked about a little while ago, right? This temporary view of things. Because what's going on right now is terrible. It's difficult. It's challenging. But it is showing us how eternal perspective changes everything. That we would see that what's happening right now is temporary. What's unseen is what's eternal. And the last couple of things we wanted, and we are desiring, and we're praying for this desired outcome in our lives, to have an increased sensitivity to the needs of others. An increased sensitivity to the needs of others. If that is not being stirred up inside of you, I want to ask, why? Is it because you're hanging on to stuff? Is it because you're mad at how the world is going? Be sensitive. Walk a mile in another person's shoes. Walk a mile. Then finally, we're desiring that we would be honest about our own weakness and that we have to be willing to accept Christ's strength. That we would be honest about our weakness and that we would be willing to accept Christ's strength. That means we have to admit, like we were talking about, you know, well, I talked about it on Wednesday if you were able to get involved in that devotional, but the idea that God is God and we're not, that we actually would have to be poor in spirit, like Jesus says. That doesn't mean poverty stricken from a financial standpoint, although sometimes that helps us to be humbled. A lot of times we choose humility instead, but look, these are the desired outcomes, and John put it on the screen, and hopefully you took a picture of it or whatever, but we're praying these things and we're hoping for these things out of 2 Corinthians. And so I wanted to give you like a key verse out of 2 Corinthians 8. We're going to go 8 and 9 today, and there's a lot to it, and we're going to get to it right now. But after these desired outcomes, I wanted to share with you this verse, 2 Corinthians 8, 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, I mean, he owns everything, God in the flesh, but he was God in heaven, still is. But though he was rich, yet for your sake, for our sake, he became poor, so that by his poverty, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. Isn't that amazing? This is one of those paradoxes, you guys, where God, in his amazing grace, would choose to become one of us, that he would humble himself, that he would lay himself down, that he would become poor, that we might become rich. He didn't have to do that, but we desperately needed him to. He chose to. He loves you. He wants you. And so this is what we're going to be talking about today, is this different kind of wealth, a different kind of wealth. And unless you get it twisted or you're like, oh, we're going to talk about giving. Look, this is way less about money and way more about living for Jesus, a wealthy lifestyle of living for Jesus. And so we're looking at this new kind of wealth, and I would encourage you to join in and not check out. And so got some good notes, got God's word more importantly. And so let's get to it. We're gonna go to 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. So 9 was this key verse, and look how this all unpacks. Look, there was this massive, massive need going on in Jerusalem. And you might remember it, I think it's in Romans 15 and 1 Corinthians 16, talking about the saints in Jerusalem that needed help. These were Jewish Christians and they needed help. Do you know that the majority of the help came from non-Jewish Christians? It came from people outside of Israel, even outside of the Jewish faith and the Jewish roots. And these came from these Macedonian churches. And you know what happened in Macedonia? And that was like Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. See, these churches did not have much finances, but they had a deep desire because they were brand new in Jesus and they believed the kingdom message and they believed that their brothers and sisters in Jerusalem needed their help. And so they came to their rescue in so many different ways. And so this is where Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, who also had said, yeah, we want to help them. We want to. And they had actually way more money than the churches in Macedonia. but they held on to it somehow. And so he's writing to them saying, look, you have been given so much and you need to share. And you said you would. And so we're going to unpack that as this new kind of wealth. But look for way more than giving finances in what you're going to see this morning. All right. So 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. But we're going to unpack that more, but look at that. Affliction, joy, poverty, generosity. It's not how we normally think about it. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God, to us. Well, let's look at that for a second. This recipe of wealthy generosity. I don't know what you think of it. Maybe right now you could put it in the notes, in the comments, or maybe you could just talk about it with each other now or later. But when you think of generous people, what comes to mind? Rich people, poor people. Maybe you don't even think about their finances. You just think about a generous lifestyle. They're constantly looking for ways to give themselves away. Well, check this out. Here's the recipe that we find out in 2 Corinthians 8. It's this severe affliction. Think about being afflicted. That means that you are overwhelmed, that you are feeling destitute, that you're feeling down and attacked. So severe affliction. Put that in the bowl, right? There's severe affliction. And then add to that an abundant joy. This is kind of like this different kind of joy that we talked about, right? That for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross. What was the joy? He wasn't sadistic. He wanted to honor his daddy. He was looking forward to being lifted up and raised from the dead, but he also wanted to present us to his Father in his glory. He wanted to give us over to God, set free, clean, this beautiful bride washed by the word, as it says in Ephesians 5. And so there's abundant joy. It doesn't come from your circumstances. Remember from last week? It actually comes from you and I being rooted, founded, strong in Jesus. So you got severe affliction in the bowl. You add an abundant joy in the bowl. And then you add extreme poverty. Why wouldn't you? What in the world? This all comes together for a wealth of generosity. I've heard it said that if you take all the different ingredients for a cake individually, you probably wouldn't want to eat those. But when you put them together in the bowl and you mix it up and you bake it, then it's a cake and you like it. Now, some of you are like, no, man, I love pie. All right, whatever, make a pie. Same kind of thing, right? So here's the point. You and I, with this new kind of wealth, is that whatever comes our way, that we would, in Jesus, be able to see affliction, pain, the need of others, that we would actually have an abundance of joy. And that we would take whatever is going on in us, even extreme poverty, as an opportunity to be wealthy in our generosity. That is just weird. It's so different. It's so Jesus. Do you remember the widow's mite in Luke 21? This widow, right, gave the only 2 coins that she had. Didn't even reach a penny. It was 2 tiny little copper coins. And that's all. That was what she was given as her subsistence, right? There was just a little bit the church that was able to give to her. And she put all of that into this offering. And rich people were throwing lots and lots of money in there and making lots of noise because it was this copper kettle, so to speak. And Jesus said that that woman gave more than anybody else. She was more generous than everybody else because she gave all that she had. Are we in that spot? Are we willing? Are we able Not on our own we're not able, but in Christ we are. So look, you'll see also in here, and I love this, and I think it's in verse 5. Yeah, that the Macedonians gave themselves first to God and then to others. I love that. They gave themselves first to God, then to others. That's for us to learn that we are not our own. We are bought at a price, and so we give first to God and then we give to others. This is so good. But as John Calvin said, and I didn't know him. He's been dead for hundreds of years. But check this out. Our problem is that we think something is lost when we give it away, especially when we give it to other people. Especially when we give it to other people. Boy, I'm just humbled by this. It's really easy for me to talk about giving stuff that's excess. But what about when I give something that means something to me? And so I want to really ask you a question. What about you? How can we see the abundance in what we have rather than all that we don't have? How can you and I, with this idea of being wealthy in a new way, can we see the abundance of what we have and say that what I have is to give rather than, well, I don't have it, so I can't give it? I mean, this is big. I'm praying in Jesus' name that we would see giving in a different way. And so I want to go a little bit further into the story, but we're going to stop at verse 7 for a second. Now, he said that he was sending Titus to them to make sure that they would excel in this gift of grace, or this act of grace. But he says, but as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, you excel in our love for you. That's just so powerful. But he's saying, look, you Corinthians are all about the status. You're all about looking good. You're all about being really smart and saying really amazing things. That you'd even have this deep faith. We'll see to it that you excel in this act of grace also. You guys remember Grace, right? She'd been dead 30 years. And that's not the grace I'm talking about. You know who the grace is I'm talking about? The grace of God. Like unmerited grace. You didn't earn it. We didn't earn it. And when you excel in the act of grace, you actually are excelling in giving things to people that they didn't earn or deserve, but they probably most desperately need. And that's what we're called to do. That's who we are called to be. And so this idea is excel in grace too, not just in all of the other things. Excel in grace. And so we're going to pick up in 2 Corinthians 8, 9 through 12. I want to really encourage you that this is about not just wanting to do something, not just meaning to do something, not just intending to do something, but actually following through with it. Obedience, right? I love this, and I've been taught this over and over again, not just as a dad, but as many times I've gone wayward from our heavenly dad. And I'll get to the obedience. No. Delayed obedience is disobedience. We need to obey. Well, I'm trying to count the cost. I'm trying to see if it's worth it. It's always going to be worth it to honor God. Always. For you know the grace of, remember, this is our key verse for the morning. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. And in this matter, I give my judgment. Speaking of judgment really quick, it's not fair that somebody who's rich becomes poor so other people can become rich. That's not fair. This isn't about fair. This is about Jesus. This is about his followers. This is about his influencers. This is about his different kind of kingdom. And in this matter, I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. You didn't just say, all right, we're going to give to some people. All right, we're going to give of our lives. All right, we're going to give of this particular money. By the way, shout out to Caleb's dream. Church, we did it in Jesus' name. And he's saying, look, you guys not only said you were going to, you actually desired to do it. Does that hit at all? Is there somebody right there this morning going, gosh, I know I'm supposed to do something. I've said I was going to do something. I even wanted to, but I've kind of lost my way. Well, good morning, because you're going to get to come back. So now, finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according what he does not have. Look, you can't give away what you don't have. In Jesus, you have all that you could ever hope for or imagine. Check it out in Ephesians 3 and 4. But even more than that, God's not saying give something that you don't have and feel bad that you don't have it to give, right? He's saying you've been given so much, so give from what you have. Follow through with it. Look, we'll say it like this, and you'll see it on the screen. Everything that you and I have is due to the grace and love of Jesus. Everything good comes from the Heavenly Father. No shifting shadows, the Father of lights for us. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. This abundance is given that we can actually share generously with others. Hey, you haven't been given what you've been given just for you. It's not just for you. Take a little water on that one. Everything you and I have been given is by the grace and love of Jesus. He's not saying, hey, try to do something that somebody else is doing. No, he's saying, whatever you've been given, give from that. Give of that. And this finishes up 13 through 15 in 2 Corinthians 8. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. Look, they may not have abundance in money, but they have abundance in faith. They have an abundance in need. You and I get to work together with others. Look, I want to tell you a story about my brother Jason. A long time ago, my daughter Genesis got into a car wreck, and we had an insurance that was good, but it wasn't great. And she got taken to the hospital, and it was scary. And we were really grateful that she was alive. But I recognized as I got a little further away from the accident, a little further away from Genesis being in the hospital and she was released and everything, which I praise God for still to this day, I realized, holy smokes, this is gonna be expensive. And my brother Jason called me, and I was in this store called Blockbuster. Children, there used to be a store where you could go and get videos. It was Netflix in a store. And you'd buy the actual videos. All right, anyway, so we were there. I was in there. And my brother calls me and he says, hey, bro, I just heard about the accident. What's going on? And I explained everything to him. And then I said, man, I'm just grateful. She's alive. Car's probably totaled. But really, the good news is she's going to be all right. And he goes, well, what do you guys need? And I was like, oh, I don't even know. And he goes, come on, man, what do you need? And I'm like, gosh, ultimately, this is going to be a lot of money. I don't even know how much. And so my brother said, look, Carrie and I have a lot right now. And I think it's because we're supposed to bless you. Wow. I just start sobbing. I mean, sobbing in this store. And this older lady comes over. Are you okay? I'm like, yeah, it's good tears. You know, one of those things. I have the ugly cry face, but it hits me so hard that you and I have what we have, that we would be a blessing to those around us and those that are in need. And he says it. And so listen to how he sums it up in verse 15. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. This is like a shout out to when the Israelites had already exited, right? They were on their exodus. They were out in the desert, and God gave them manna. Not too much, not too little. You might remember this a little bit. Maybe it's triggering something in your mind like it is in mine, where Jesus in the Lord's Prayer is saying, give us today our daily bread. No, it comes from a proverb that don't give me too much that I lose sight of you and how awesome you are, God, and don't give me too little that I try and go and steal. Look, I'll need to summarize now, and I need to get to it. But what you have been given is not just for you. And I want to ask you, when it comes to giving, does giving make you joyful? Or does it only make you joyful if you get something in return? Does giving make you cheerful? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 9, and we'll go 5 through 7. I got to start wrapping it up here. So he's talking about this collection that they were supposed to make for the Corinthians, said they were going to do for the church in Jerusalem. And so he sent people to make sure that they would actually follow through. And this is what he says in verse 5. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead of you and to arrange in advance for the gift that you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction, right? Not as somebody expecting it, somebody coming and taking it from us. He's like, look, I was trying to make sure that this was a gift you were willingly giving. Not to just show up and go, you said you were going to give us some money. So he's reminding them of their commitment and their willingness. There's a shout out to fellowship and accountability. Verse 6, the point is this, Paul says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. So if you plant just a few seeds, you're not going to get a bumper crop. You're going to get a little crop. But if you sow a bunch of seeds, you're going to get a bunch to reap. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he's decided in his or her heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I'll tell you about this word cheerful. It's hilaros in the Greek. It's where we get our English word hilarious from. It's like you give hilariously. You give joyfully. So I have this question here. When it comes to giving, are you cheerful or troubled? Are you generous or are you feeling taxed? When I have to write a check for taxes, it's not joyful for me. I don't feel great about it. It's a have to, not a get to. When we've been able to give to people and do so anonymously, generously, I'm so stoked about it. I love to do that. And that's a change of Jesus Christ in me, because I haven't always been that way. Look, friends, I want to remind you that the gospel itself is a story of generosity. Remember the good news that Jesus paid your price, that Jesus defeated sin and death, and he rose giving us that victory. And the same spirit that lived in him and raised him from the dead lives in you and me. So I'm going to go and finish with 2 Corinthians 9, 8 through 15. And God is able, friends, to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency, that means having all that you need in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Let's read it again. And God's able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency, being content in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he's distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Hallelujah and amen. It's God that does this for us. He's the one that makes us sufficient. He's the one that makes us abound in every good work. So he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. He will do this. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Now, when we're being generous, other people can be thankful because of how awesome God is in us and through us. They'll see our good deeds, like Jesus says in Matthew 5, and praise our Father in heaven. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it's overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ. It really is about the gospel. The gospel transforms us, transforms our lives, transforms everything about us, our bank accounts, our schedules, our abilities, our desires, our appetites, that we would keep confessing the good news of Jesus Christ. And I love this. He says that God will be glorified because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for this inexpressible gift. It's all about God. So as we finish this morning, I want to ask you, as a takeaway, there's discussion questions later, and I would love for you to go through that. I pray that you go through that. You discuss it with God and with others. But here's something that I have for you right now. Take an inventory of God's blessings in your life. And then give generously. Take an inventory right now. Start somewhere. Is it with clothes? Is it with money? Is it with your time? Is it with your forgiveness? Is it with your love? Friends, gospel transformation is profound. I know I've gone a little bit longer, and maybe it's because I'm getting ready to get back into the building, but would you let me read for you out of this? Literally, it's called the Gospel Transformation Bible. It's got lots of cool notes, and I want to finish with this. If you find yourself lacking the impulse to give to those in need, you're likely forgetting the surpassing grace that was given to you while you were in need. Like, humble, right? Spirit, we know that we don't have it all together. If you're unable to forgive, you've lost the sight of the forgiveness that's yours in Christ. A forgiving heart is a forgiven heart. If you're unable to give something up, there's a lack of appreciation for all that Christ has given up for you. When you identify the area where the gospel growth is lacking in your life, you're identifying the place where you're failing to believe the gospel. Ask the Holy Spirit to make Christ and the gospel real to you. This is what the Spirit delights to do. Let's pray. Jesus, help us with this new kind of influence, this new kingdom, this new kind of joy, this new kind of glory, this new kind of wealth. Holy Spirit, uncover in us where we're not believing the gospel, where we're struggling, where we're not exactly sure what it is that we're doing because we've lost our way. Well, we know exactly what we're doing and we need to come back to you. Uncover in us where we're just blind, where we need help. Uncover in us where we need encouragement. Holy Spirit, I know you'll do that right now in this moment for your people, and you'll continue to because you're faithful to complete the work that you begin in us. Lord Jesus, help us to take whatever comes our way as an opportunity to trust you, believe you, and to give because you've first given to us. I pray all this in your perfect name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Can't wait to see you face to face. Jesus loves you. He died to prove it. Shalom, friends.